Turn, if you would, to that final chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. From verse 18 to 20, Isaiah beholds that wonderful time in the future when people from all over the world will come to know God and will behold His glory. It will not be restricted to one nation or one people in one time. But those who were in utter ignorance of God will know Him. And they who were born spiritually blind will see His glory. And they'll see it, I think, in two ways. The first way, and the obvious way, is that when they get to heaven or New Jerusalem, they will behold the glory of God. And yet, even before that, when they come into Christ, they behold, as it were, through faith, the glory of God. Where do we see the glory of God? Well, we see the glory of God in the cross of Calvary. The pure righteousness of God and the love of God coming together in that bloody sacrifice of Christ. We behold the glory of God as He pours out His salvation, His deliverance, His provision into our lives. We behold God's glory even in the church, such as it may be. And these various peoples will all come to the holy mountain Jerusalem in litters, mules and camels, and they'll come and worship the Lord in purity. And some will be taken for the priesthood and as Levites. And the Levitical tribe in the early chapters of the Bible, that was the priestly tribe. Those people who were set apart from birth to spend their lives serving Him. And from the priestly tribe came those who were born to priesthood. Although you weren't a priest by birth, you'd have had to train and various qualifications. But it was restricted. But there's a wonderful hint, I think, here in Isaiah of that glorious Reformation doctrine. Of course, it's not the Reformation doctrine. If it's a Reformation doctrine, it's a Bible doctrine. But the priesthood of all believers, is that not a wonderful truth? These people taken from Tubal and Javan, Pul and Lud, as pagan as they can be, will be regarded as a Levite and a priest by God. Now it does say some of them, and this might be some special end time arrangement in particular. But the point I want to look at ahead of our praying together is that priesthood of all believers. And one of the things that went wrong during the early church is that a human priesthood was re-established. Now, God established the Levitical and the Aaronic priesthood. It was biblical and it was godly. But of course, it all pointed to the great high priest who was Christ. A priest is a middleman, not quite a negotiator, but one through whom you go to approach or access a higher power, perhaps whose presence you have no right to enter or with whom you cannot treat. And if I were an Old Testament saint and I wanted to approach God, I approached God through a human priest. I approached Him through the tabernacle. I approached Him through the temple. And we know that the only way to get to God is through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And so that tabernacle, that temple, that priesthood, they were all really pointing to him. So when he came, their functions were over. They were no longer required. When we pray this evening, we pray in the name of Jesus, through him and by his authority. Can we enter the throne of grace? Can we bring our petitions to the Father? But in the early church, they who led the meetings, the presbyters, became a new priesthood. And in so-called forms of Christianity, which are contrary to the scriptural warrant, there is a man-made priesthood. I think of Romanism, I think of Mormonism, I think of several others. And through these people, or through that organization, or through this church, must you approach God. And the priesthood of all believers, of which we are a part, says you approach God through Christ. If you don't approach him through Christ, you don't approach him at all. And there is no need to come to Christ through another. And in Roman churches, you'll always find a statue of Mary, and Mary will be prayed to. And the logic of that is that you pray through Mary, she can intercede for you on your behalf with the Son, who will then intercede on your behalf before the Father. And she's become a mediatrix, a female middleman, a middle woman. Let me assure you, Mary is in heaven. But she would not answer prayers or pray on your behalf, even if she could, because there is no need. We come through Christ. But each believer, as it were, in Christ is a priest. When we pray, we have more access to the counsels of heaven than ever the Levites had of old. By the blood of Christ, we can enter the throne room of grace day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, not once a year, not after some bathing or some other ritual. And that priesthood, that royal priesthood which we are and of which we are part, does not depend on where we were born, on passing an exam, but upon being in Christ. We are the people who've been called from all the nations. And when we come before God to pray this evening, we can guarantee to be heard. Now, that is not the same thing as being assured God will respond in the way we want to or to expect. He may not. But we will be heard, and God does hear and respond to the prayers of his people. When we pray with an authority. Not because we are anything special. Not because God finds our words fascinating. But because in Christ we have no sin by which we would be turned away. His righteousness is reckoned to be ours. But we also enter into a relationship with God. And Jesus talked about how a human, an earthly father would not turn away a child asking for a loaf or fob him off with a stone, or when he sought a fish, go to the trouble of finding a scorpion. When we pray to God, we pray as children, beloved children. approaching a loving father. We come before him as an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. Isaiah in verse 20 likens the worship from these pagan peoples as being an offering in a clean vessel. And when we might look at our lives, we think, but I don't feel very clean. And I did this before the prayer meeting, and I did the other, and I lost my temper there, and I did that here. Yet the Bible often talks about God's people as wearing a robe. The robe of righteousness. And our sin is covered. Because of what Christ achieved at Calvary. The Father looks not at our sin, but his righteousness. That is why when we pray shortly, we will be heard. And we won't be heard from afar, we'll be heard by one who is close by. Bill commented when we were praying on that lovely bird song which can be heard outside. I put it to you, that when God hears you pray in Christ, it's a more beautiful sound to him than those birds are to even us tonight. Not because of our choice of words, but because of the authority and the person in whom we are found. The lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the fairest of the fair. Amen.